Hey there, welcome to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, your wallet's favorite show. I am your wallet's favorite co-host, James Parker. Hey, welcome back. Feels like we hadn't talked for a while, you know, and I know we just had a nice long holiday weekend, little Pelicans in the mix as well, but we are back. So if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you can call this guy, Gregory, Hall of Fame financial advisor.
I'm here too. Get the phone, make the call.
All right. So plenty of stuff to get to. In fact, on a day like this, we have financial news coming out of our ears, but don't let that stop you from getting some financial help. You know, we really, the number one thing we love to do on this show is take calls. And every once in a while, we have the conversation with people out in the real world that listen to the show. And they're like, yeah, I wanted to call before, but sometimes I just get to listening and I don't want to interrupt. Or y'all seem like you're in the middle of a flow and I don't want to stop you in the middle of a story. No, feel free to interrupt this.
That is the purpose of it.
But we are going to be going pretty full blast on today's show. Do not let that stop you from calling in 504-260-0995. Welcome back after the long weekend.
Let me mention this. I had a client in for a review today, and with this market turmoil and such, and part of the conversation is he wanted to create more balance in his portfolio to create not as much volatility. And, you know, you're lessened with it because of our style of money management. That we will start dialing things back when the market's headed the wrong way. You know, like lower lows, lower highs is not a good thing as far as the trend. So we actually were helping him because one of the things, he already has some bond-like tools, so we added some more to his mix to slightly overbalance with non-risk correlated assets. And one of the things he asked about was the show. He's a listener. He said he enjoys listening to us, but he lives in Houma region, put it that way. And he just said, sometimes it just doesn't pick up as well. And I mentioned to him, listen to us on the stream. I said, I'm going to open my app and I'm going to go show and click on it, show you. It picks up the station clearly right now on the stream. He said, is that the Winning at Life app? I said, absolutely, it is. And I said, when we're not preempted, you don't have to listen to us on the air feed. You can listen to us on the stream. And I said, but guess what? When we're preempted by the Pelicans, we're on the stream and not on your air live feed. So you can listen to us. We have a show on every night of the week and 3 hours on Saturday. So the stream is never preempted. And by the way, some people get confused, and I'll take this another step, when they kind of say, well, all Gregory manages is risk money, market money. You know, I remember back in the day when I heard what people would say, well, all Gregory does is annuities. Well, that wasn't all we did back then, and that's not what we all do. As far as today, they say, oh, all Gregory does is manage money. It's a big part of what we do, but it's almost a 50-50 split. So if you're kind of thinking about, gosh, I need to get away from this market volatility, I've about had enough. I need to create balance. I want to have something that offsets volatility. It's fixed annuities is what it is. And what we do is we purpose them as bond-like money. It's not what it's called. Here's the thing. It's not what it's called. It's what it does for you. Is it giving you the outcome that you want? So if you're looking for a second opinion, an alternative, how do I create balance and still get the returns that I expect, you should call us for a second opinion. My day job, you know that, GregoryRicks.com. There's phone numbers and everything's listed there. And I know we're heard across multiple states on the live feed, across the nation, on the country. Call our office and we'll help you out on creating that balance. But remember, we do work in the risk world and we work in the risk averse world.
All right, let's go ahead and jump on the phones then. Beverly, Slidell. You're going to be first up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Beverly?
Okay, I have a Social Security question for you.
Okay.
I am 72, and I've been widowed for 8 years, so I am actually collecting my husband's Social Security because his is more than mine would be. But I'm also still full-time employed and anticipate being employed for quite some time. My question is, I'm still paying into Social Security, but I'm never going to collect that on mine.
How big a difference is your Social Security benefit versus his? So you're drawing on his record, and it's been the largest, but is there a big difference?
I think I'm collecting $2,400. I think mine was, last time I checked, was like $1,800. So significant enough that...
Yeah,
I would still be collecting his, but
well, all you're not getting any of that deferred growth because beyond your full retirement age, you hear us refer to as FRA. From FRA to age 70, you were getting an 8% increase, so that was probably a catch up for you. But you're still contributing. But once you pass 70, you're not getting any of those credits or anything or percentage increase. All you're getting is what you're adding to your work record. And remember, it's your best 35 years. So what you're doing, depending on what you're earning, and it is inflation adjusted, but you could have some of those years dropping off back in the day and replacing them with higher earning years now, perhaps. And that's why I would check the record every year for a while, especially as long as you continue to work and the year after you stop working, to just see if something has changed and created a larger benefit.
Okay. Yeah, it just seems weird that I knew it was not going to be, you know, after 70, it doesn't increase. And I'm not drawing on mine anyway. There's no way to stop paying that, is it?
No, but it's kind of part of being a worker in this country. It's among the taxes we pay as a worker in this country. So can't opt out. Right.
Feels a little weird, though, to still pay that tax every month, doesn't it, Beverly?
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, we don't have a better explanation for you.
And it is working on your work record, but it's not working on the record that you're drawing from.
Right.
So, yeah, that you're in a unique situation that we've not heard on the air before.
Yeah, it's a little weird because I don't anticipate ever drawing on mine.
Right, but Gregory, is this something she can
contributing to?
She can keep up with this on SSA.gov. She has her own profile.
Yeah, have you signed up for your account on SSA.gov, the Social Security Administration website?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
So two parts of that is you protected your identity by doing so, but you can also check up on your credits every year that make sure they're applying your work earnings that were taxable by Social Security. And you get to look at the number changes to see how much it's increased or not each year as well. So I was explaining that for the purpose for all the listeners, because it's a great call, Beverly, and we really appreciate you calling and being a listener of the Winning at Life show.
All right. If you want to be after Beverly, 504-260-0995, 504-260-0995, or you can give us a call from the front of the Winning at Life app.
Yeah, that's typical. Right out the gate, we get a Social Security call, because where do you get your Social Security information?
Well, for the last week, nowhere.
No, because it's been, we got a little bit of break. We do this 6 days a week, 52 weeks a year, except for the breaks here and there. And I think this was kind of the first time we've taken... doing the show over 8 years, that's the first time we took that long of a break on Thanksgiving. And thank you for allowing us to do that for you. But our office, I had a crazy day today, but you know, it's been a crazy few weeks with the market.
Hey, it's recovered. Didn't we just have two up days in a row? Oh, we're fine.
Oh, no.
You want to go ahead and get into the numbers?
Yeah.
Because that's going to kick off 28 other news stories. Welcome to the numbers on Winning It Life. This is where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world while you're at Winning It Life today. Follow along on the exact same in charts and graphs I'm looking at right now. See, I just clicked tab, so I am looking at them. Go to winningitlife.com or download the Winning It Life app. And it looked two green days in a row.
Yeah, that makes a recovery, does.
You know, it's hard to get that excited because it started off so bad. The day started off so bad. And it was meandering at it opened down and it was meandering down there. And it started to kind of climb up, but then it jumped through the roof, or I should say through the break-even point into green territory. When Larry Kudlow, one of the economic advisors of Trump, was heard on TV saying this.
There's a good possibility that a deal can be made. And that he is open to that. He is open to that.
And that is a deal with China. They're meeting at the G20's meeting this Saturday. And there's going to be a little set-aside in the private booth at the back of Shoney's or something like that with Trump and Xi Jinping.
Let's put it this way. You're the king of your world. And it's not just you're a king, you're a ruler with a history of rulers that stay in the job for a long time. And you've been, and your political party that supports you there, which there's only one, has approved you having a lifetime position in that party and ruler. And things have been going pretty good. The deals you had, the WTO, World Trade Organization, that deal you guys got put back into place kind of positioned you as somebody. And then you were getting over on the U.S. and instilling technology. Got a question for you when you come from the break. I'm posing this to you as if you're him. Would you want to give up anything that you have or cut a deal?
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. This is the Daily Wrap, live financial talk radio. We do it every evening at 7. Yeah, I know we get preempted, but jump over to the stream. iHeartRadio, easier through the Winning at Life app. Get the phone, make the call. 504-260-0995. I am your host, Gregory Ricks.
All right, we were just kicking off the numbers segment, and it immediately got bogged down in what is probably the most consequential economic news of the day, and that is President Trump's going to meet with President Xi Jinping of China Saturday in a little sit-down to maybe make some progress on this tariff trade situation. And if a deal gets done there, then...
So if you were that king, that ruler, given a lifetime, well, you're not even king, you're even... more powerful over how many billions?
Like 1.3 billion people.
Over a billion people have this economy that's averaged above 6% GDP for a couple decades since being in the WTO. And some other country is like been building their stuff there in your country, and now they're like, we want fair deals. We don't want any, you know, we want even trade, and we don't want you stealing technology. And you're kind of thinking, we're actually pretty good at stealing your stuff and making your stuff. And we've built all these cities. We got 50 million empty houses and I got to fill them. We think we like how things are going. I'm speaking from your side, saying you're him, Kai.
I hear both. So, it's XI, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever.
We're both pronouncing it wrong, I assume, so whatever.
And we don't care.
No, it doesn't matter to me.
So would you cut a deal?
I'm trying to think of the best sports analogy, and that's if, you know, when Sean Payton is going to be hosting the Cowboys on Thursday, is it fair that if he would have to give over his playbook to Jason Garrett? Because that's forced... technology transfer, that sort of...
Yeah, if we're going to play a game, you have to share the playbook with us.
And if you look at the tariff exchange, it's we get to charge more for our tickets than you get to charge for your tickets, or we have to charge more for our tickets than you have to charge.
And we get the ball in the first beginning of the first half and the second half too.
And if I send you a letter, we have to pay for it. But if you send me a letter, we have to pay for it. Have you heard the postal imbalance that we have with China?
No, that's
basically, that's the deal.
So going back, sure. And this can pile up real fast, because when people start understanding what's going on here, it's ugly and gets worse. So would you want to cut a deal?
Not really. No.
And maybe you kind of act like you do and want to cave a little, but ultimately, you know, we've had some past presidents done some deals with them. And what did they do? Didn't follow through. So it could come today. Yeah, we'll do that. And so you play like so you make your adjustments to your stuff, like they're making the adjustments, like, okay, we'll play the game, but don't use our playbook against us. Okay, sure. And they got the books open, looking at every play, looking at the calls and signals. Yeah, they might say they want to, but when it really comes down to it, they're not wanting to meet completely in the middle. And that's why I don't think a deal gets done. Now they'll come in like, well, we offered a deal, but that old Trump, he's just hard to get along with. They'll probably make some way to look bad. But, you know, I get this in negotiation, because sometimes you've got to let the other guy save face. But I don't think he's even looking for that. That's just my take. And if you're in his position, why would you? You're waiting, because on the other end, we're saying, look, his economy, his stock market's gone to hell. Oh, you think, you said ours did? Well, theirs is much worse. And they do have 50 million empty houses over there, and they need the people leaving the rice paddies coming to the cities, and they need all this trade from us to keep going. But I'm going to tell you something. That trade is already shifting. And if this deal doesn't get done in the near future, you're going to have more companies shifting away from that continent to go elsewhere. And it's not coming back. So if they think they can hold it and hold everybody hostage, the tide is going to change.
Yeah, so just trying to look at it from either one of their sides. If you're Xi Jinping, the only reason you would make a deal is because not making a deal would be worse. Because making a deal is going backwards as far as their trade advantages are going.
Yeah, any deal they make is going backwards.
So what could make Xi Jinping want to do a deal? Well, whatever's going on now could threaten his stranglehold on power that he's managed to gain. Maybe the CIA found a tape of him saying capitalism's great, and they say, we're going to release this to the public if you don't make a deal with us. But
I think he's a way off from being threatened. Here is what would probably turn around. And look, this is inevitably coming their way, a housing and real estate collapse over there. There's no way they can ultimately escape what they've created and the debt and the mortgages and all that. I think that's where it comes from. But, you know, we've been actually talking that for a few years, because this is no surprise to us. We've been following it here on Winning at Life for a while, is China's real estate situation. But it's not happening this month, next month, or probably next year.
The other side of that negotiating table is far less opaque, though, the Donald Trump side, because you smartly made me read his book last summer, Art of the Deal. And so we know what's going on. He's going to ramp up the nice offensive in the coming days. And he's going to talk not necessarily about China. He's going to talk specifically about Xi Jinping and how he likes him. Yeah, I have a problem with China, but my relationship with Xi Jinping is through the roof. And I have no doubt that not only are we going to make a deal, it's going to be the best deal in the history of ever, because he does the truthful hyperbole. So go read his playbook and watch him follow it out through the rest of this week. I just don't know how this is going to end when he gets back from the G20 meeting. What is going to be the result there? So that's what we're waiting on. But here comes the nice offensive, Gregory.
Yeah, it's going to be nice. And yeah, we couldn't quite get it done. We scheduled another meeting, but we really got along great. And I like him. In fact, I may love Xi Jinping more than that guy in North Korea. Remember, he's had like,
the love story.
Love
yeah.
story there. So may go over there and keep that going, but I don't know that Xi is quite there. Well, it'll be interesting to see. I'm just not so optimistic because I was asked today, what is going on? I said, oh my gosh, let me see if I've got a list here in my head. Okay, it's the Fed interest rates. It's the Fed unwinding. It's the tariffs. It's the Fed raising interest rate. It's the House is controlled by the Dems starting beginning of the year. It's lower lows and lower highs in the market.
Okay.
What have I missed?
Foreign central banks are buying less of our treasuries.
Yes, and buying less of our stocks. As well.
Yeah, you had that report not too long ago. I don't have that on my desk here, but that's something I was bringing up is the treasury buying has slowed down. Bond rates, they're supposed to be going up because the Fed's raising rates, but they haven't really been going up on the 10-year
treasury.
Well,
you kind of had that push down lately because why? Money's leaving the market going into the bond world. What also happens is... Well, why weren't interest rates going higher? Well, they are now, and that's a problem. Also, the unwinding of the Fed's balance sheet is something else that affects interest rates. So when interest rates get competitive, because in the easy money world of like no interest, you had to go to the market, dividend paying stocks to create returns. And now there's competition to those dividend paying. Now you're getting reasonable 10-year treasury rates. Heck, 5-year CD annuities are paying 4% that we have. And that's become competitive. Oh, I can get 4 at no risk versus 4 risk. And not all dividend paying stocks pay 4. Some pay less, some pay more. But you have all these things going on. And then you had the market pushed up because that's where money had to flow to get yield. And then you had the world central banks backing up their currency with U.S. stocks, and they're not so much buying anymore. So that's the pressure. And then all that drove them up to being overpriced based on what the market says it is today, because the market has a lot of it lower in double digit and in bear market territory. I think what Salesforce off 24%, but they had a winning earnings report today. We've got oil in bear market territory. And somebody asked me today, well, you know, I would thought with all this going on that gold and silver, especially silver, because it's being used in all these solar panels. And they said, remember California, you know, said everybody's got to have solar panels on their houses. Well, I showed them a silver chart. I said, well, that didn't spike it. So I don't know how much silver's being used. So, you know, you think about all these things.
But you don't share my optimism that after two positive days that the downturn's been effectively quashed, because we had all three markets in the positive for today.
Well, that is a winning day.
Dow Jones
in our books
up 0.4%. S&P up 0.3%. NASDAQ was up almost a point, but it's positive territory. Anyway, more to come. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning at Life, your money channel, your wallet's favorite show, your favorite host. Hey, that's me. Gregory Ricks along with James Parker. Yeah, we talk about your money 5 nights a week at 7 and Saturdays from 10 to 1. Yeah, 3-hour weekend marathon that we do. And it's always about you, your money.
You can't call it a marathon. I'm sitting on my butt for 3 hours. We got to have a better metaphor than that.
Well, it sounded good. Now you just ruined it. I got to come up with something else. But I'll tell you what, while we're trying to figure that out, you get the phone, make the call, 504-260-0995. Let's talk about Social Security. Let's talk about your 401k. Let's talk about your pension. Let's talk about the market. Let's talk about alternatives to risk. like annuities. Do you know life insurance can be that too as well? Everybody gets caught up in what it's called. You need to think about what does it do that I could win with. So once again, download the Winning at Life app. You can text us, email us, call us through that. Listen to the show even when it's preempted because we're still on the stream. And then there's podcast library that is awesome as well. One of the probably the best body of podcasts you'll ever hear. That's from Trump's book, by the way.
Yes, Truthful Hyperbole.
It's true.
It's one of the biggest bodies of work you'll see from a podcast ever.
So 504-260-0995. Look, the S&P 500, January 3rd. I've got the number here. January 3rd number. 220. Yeah, I'm on the Dow Jones Industrial Average number. 24,922.68. That's January. So where did we close today, James?
That's 24,748.
We're down year to date.
Yikes.
Just thought I'd challenge you in that way. So go ahead.
Well, look, I think that's good for the price of stocks in the long term. I'm not saying you need to jump in, but if we have all this growth, if we have GDP growth, if we have productivity growth and wage growth and all these underlying technicals are on the upswing, but prices aren't going up with it, then we're deflating a value that probably shouldn't have been there in the first place is the more likely scenario because we were jacking with the market with those low rates. But here's what I'm also looking at is when you go down to debt instruments. 10-year treasuries stayed above 3. I think that's good just for the psyche of this market. And I think that's part of the reason why this downturn isn't such a free fall is because, look, we have something a little more steady going over here with the 10-year treasury world, with the bond world. They're not all running for the hills trying to jump into bonds.
Yeah. Now looking at 30 days on the 10-year treasuries, they're down over 30 days. We're at 3.123 on October 30th. And then today we're at 3.055. However, this isn't the low point. The low point was 3.040. So it's moving back up from there. And that was one of the important things that I said a while back was we needed to get to 3 and stay above 3. I think that's really important.
Gold, you want to do gold and oil real quick and then we'll get to the phones?
Absolutely. Oil still kind of in the doldrums in bear market territory, $51.84 a barrel. Brent at $60.48.
It's so low. That just doesn't seem right. And gold, $1,214.50. I'm watching the after hours number and it's changing there. But it's kind of where it's been meandering around since the middle of October.
Silver, $14.24. Kind of still in its range. No impact.
All right, we'll do the short sheet coming up, including a special report on GM when we get to the short sheet. But first, let's do Randy. Randy in LaPlace, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, sir?
Hello. Yes, two questions, both related to the same thing. You had mentioned people should sign up for their SSA account, and I'm wondering at how early can you do that? At what age?
Any age.
I've done it.
James has done it.
I did it at age 39 the first time.
Okay. The second thing was you made a statement that that'll help protect your identity, and I'm curious how that is.
Well, see, what has happened is there are identity thieves and Social Security accounts have been signed up for by people that were not the ones that were supposed to sign up for it. You know, what they use is credit bureau information because there's a series of questions that only you should know the answer. But, you know, we know some of those were hacked as well in the past. What they're preying upon is those that are waiting to FRA, full retirement age, to turn on their Social Security benefit. And what they'll do is get the 6-month back date on that and get a lump sum check and cash that in Bolt. They'll be getting the monthlies until somebody catches up that it's changed. It won't last that long and they get figured out. But our point is you should go ahead and sign up for your Social Security account. That way it's your account. It can't get set up by somebody else. So you're protecting your identity there. You can see your Social Security statement anytime. But the other part is you should each year go on there and check that you have the correct credits to your work record on the Social Security taxable income applied to your Social Security statement so that you're getting the correct benefit, because it's like 3 years, 3 months, and a few days that you have to go back and get it corrected if it was wrong. Otherwise, it's part of your permanent record. We had a caller that during the call a few weeks ago, she called in wanting to know why her benefit had reduced on the recent statement. And we talked her through it and she figured out that they shorted me, what was it, $6,000 or something like that on her last statement. That's why we want you to sign up for that account. There's several reasons, not just the identity theft.
All right. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you for the call. You helped everyone.
All right. If you want to be after Randy, 504-260-0995. Moving on to the short sheet here, the biggest loser was Roku. Second biggest loser, though, gets a little bit more attention, and that was GM. And GM had a big announcement. They are closing a handful of production facilities and ending production on 6 different vehicles.
They don't like big Cadillacs, big Buicks, and what else do they build? No, they used to have like 20 divisions, now a few.
Well, what they're ending is really their little guys, the Buick LaCrosse. All of them are traditional sedan models. So it's not the tiny little like Corollas and Ford Focus and the super compact cars. This is their sedan models, which is sort of that in between. It's not the tiny little guy. You might have a little trouble parking it, but it's not an SUV. It's not a truck. It's not an Escalade. Those are sticking around, but they're losing the Buick LaCrosse, the Chevrolet Volt, the Cadillac CTS, Cadillac XTS, Chevrolet Impala, which is weird because they just brought that back like 10 years ago, right? And then the Chevrolet Cruze. So production for all 6 vehicles will cease by the end of 2019. All but one of those had actually seen year-to-date sales falling. And on top of that, GM is also laying off 15% of its salaried North American workforce. That translates to about 15,000 employees. And there was a map I saw earlier of a handful of facilities that are going to get closed along with it. But it's not just workers that are getting laid off here. I think the reason why you didn't see the stock tank more is because they're reducing their executive structure by almost half. A bunch of this 15% of the workforce, these salaried workers, are going to be coming from the suite levels, the executive suite. Some guy with the corner office that's, you know, sending you another memo, and you have 8 bosses. Well, now you just have 4. So that's
China's production is not affected by these actions.
And neither is Mexico's, is it? It's just a handful of American plants.
Oh, it's just.
And there was one in Canada, wasn't there? Like a Toronto
plant? It's just
plant?
Those blue states that Trump won being affected.
You know
he
what?
He is ticked off.
Now I got to go look at the map.
The CEO up there. Well, Ohio is a pretty big state for him. But Buick LaCrosse, the Chevy Volt, Chevy Cruze, Chevy Impala, Cadillac CT6, Cadillac XTS. I don't know what all those do. Which one has the Corvette engine? Are they eliminating that one? You know, Chevrolet Corvette has lower production than the Chevrolet Cruze, but yet
makes
Corvette division makes more money.
I bet it does. Oh, here's the plant closing. You're right. Most of this is
2
blue
states. Yeah.
All right.
It is.
504-260-0995. Warren in Donaldsonville, you're going to be next if you want to be after Warren. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Hey there. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, your wallet's favorite show. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you've stumbled across the show, they can give you a helping hand. 504-260-0995. Or you can give us a call from the Winning It Life app. Download the app. Just make the call from the front screen. Warren, Donaldsonville. You're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. What can we do for you, Warren?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I have a 401k that I left at my previous job that's probably been there about 2 years. And I have a new 401k that I'm working on this job. And I'm undecided whether I should combine it, you know, roll it over into this new 401k or maybe try an IRA or, you know, I'm undecided what to do with it. Can you give me any suggestions?
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking in two parts, like, oh, no, you left money at the old job, but I got good news for you. You can roll it into the new job. Or you could roll it to a separate account that gives you more choices. You could leave it there, but I would hate for you to do that. It could become forgotten money. It causes estate issues. So what kind of number do you put on that old account? What size is it?
Close to 50,000.
Oh, that's a good, that's real money.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you feel about the new account and your choices?
What you mean?
Your new 401k at the new job.
Uh-huh.
How do you feel about that account?
I feel pretty good about it. I'm contributing 15% of my income, and it's growing pretty quick, but I'm really leery about a 401k. I would rather some other type of investment that would be more secure and maybe gain a little bit more interest.
Okay. Here's a couple of choices for you, and I'll give you some guidance on each one. The new job 401k, you can move it there and it can be one place, simplifies your life. You can see everything there, but that $50,000 is going to be there until you leave that job. Another choice you have is to set up a rollover IRA account elsewhere, which gives you the full universe of changes. Now, it's a custodian-to-custodian transfer, so you're basically going to set up this account before you call the 401k to have it moved to the outside account away from the new job. So you're going to set up a rollover account and then contact the old 401k and say, hey, I need to send this money over to this. So when that $50,000 arrives at that rollover IRA, wherever it might be, could be at my firm, could be another firm, could be at the Jones firm, the ABC firm, you get my point. But you have all these choices, whether you want risk or no risk or a balance of the two. You have all these choices, lots of options. And it's not tied to you working at that new job for a long time. It can do different things and have different availability. I like what I'm going to tell you is I personally like options. So myself, I probably wouldn't roll it over to the new job. I like options.
Right. Yeah. Well, I have all the paperwork to roll it over, but I was undecided about this new job, just bringing that money into this 401, you know, and I'm thinking maybe I could do better, you know, on an IRA or, you know, something like that. I mean, I'm 59 years old, so I not that I want the money, but I mean, I'm getting up in age where I'd like it to be reserved for whenever I need it.
Yeah. So you're not 59 and a half yet, but once you reach 59 and a half and past that, you don't have that 10% early withdrawal penalty. Your tax is ordinary income. I just suggest be careful if you're going to say, well, I can manage this myself and do it better. That's quite a leap. Just be careful with that as well.
Okay. Well, thanks for the information. And, I may be calling you back.
Hey, look forward to hearing from you, whether you're calling my day job or my night job here on Winning at Life. We look forward to hearing from you and how it goes. Thanks for the call, and thanks for being a part of the Winning at Life Nation.
Thank you, Warren. I noticed there was no recommendation there for him to cash it out. We see people with these old 401ks,
and they're like, money. That is not enough. That's a taxable event. If he's not 59 and a half, it's another 10% penalty. You almost whack half the account. This is retirement money. You're going to need it down the road. So whatever you can do to resist cashing out those old 401ks, you need to do it. It ought to be against the law, but it's not. But oh, it kind of is, because of how much they're going to tax you when you cash them out early.
If you want me to pile another bad idea on top of a bad idea, you cash that out and go get a Chevy Volt, because they've just been discontinued, and so it's going to be a collector's item from here on
it
out.
It is not. Don't even think about that. None of those cars they're discontinuing are going to be collectors.
Well, what about, you know how a DeLorean is a collector car because...
Is it really?
It is. There's the DeLorean societies out there.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean it's a great value as a collector. And you know when a car is a great value as a collector? When somebody sells one for a lot of profit. Wow.
Okay, there you go.
That's when you know for sure.
I was like, I need to know what this
back on the front end is like, well, you know what your best odds are? I'll help you out on that. Lots of options, big horsepower, and be from the late '60s, early '70s.
Okay. But look, in
that does not narrow it down much, but if you're making a decision, do I buy this today? Will it be a collector's item? I wouldn't count on it.
In 20, 30 years, though, this could be a sweet spot maybe for that, vehicles.
Maybe that Tesla S model 30 years from now will be the hot item, even though the battery won't work.
Because it'll be such a, it'll be such a kitschy, niche memorabilia piece. No one will have it. Like if I drove up today in a Studebaker truck, you would think I'm awesome. Not because it's an awesome vehicle, but because who else has a Studebaker truck these days? Remember those things from what the Tesla,
Let me give you something to win with today. Here's some ideas for 2019 to max out your savings account. We all are getting a boost on our IRA contributions. For everyone that has access to IRAs, the federal government is letting people save $500 more in their IRAs during 2019. So the contribution limit is set up to go up to $6,000 for those who are younger than age 50.
So we all get woo-hoo!
Yeah, you're getting to push more in, but mine is going up to $7,000 for age 50 or older. And you know, I'm barely over that age 50 age. So I'm pretty excited about that. And 401ks are going to let you save some more. Let's see, what are we going to? So limits are increasing. Those younger than age 50 will be able to contribute 19,000, while those 50 or older will be able to put up to 25,000 in their 401ks. So you're getting an extra 1,000 a year, James. For somebody that's going to work to 85 like you, that is a lot of compounding of extra money, dude.
I was just going to live off of you. That's a big garage. I could live in there. Hey,
you're cracking me up.
I have a fantastic update.
I have to do some clearing to make room for you there. It's full of stuff.
Your garage has a box or two in it right now. Hey, so I have some follow-up here on a story that is one of the bigger marketing successes of 2018, and that is the phenomenon of IHOB. Remember IHOB?
International House of Burgers?
Yeah, remember when they changed their name and it was a stunt just to let the world know that, hey...
Like Dunkin' Donuts where they dropped the donuts, but I still see the donuts on the signs.
Everywhere. I haven't seen one sign change.
But they're Dunkin'.
I don't think I saw IHOP signs changing either, but they were IHOB, and then they changed it back a few months later to, you know, at first it was to
International House of
Pancakes is what they are now.
Oh, I thought it was waffles. Okay. Pancakes.
Stop it. That's the Waffle House. All right. So someone checked back and did the math on them, and this was a big stunt to first promote the burgers, and they changed it back to promote their pancakes. They had like 80-cent pancakes.
Did you ever have one of their burgers yet?
Not during this promotion, but I've had them before.
I've had them before. I thought that was just a breakfast place.
I've had their burgers before. I've only known. Well, look, when I was in my 20s, there was only so many places open at 3 in the morning. But it was a success story. Check out this for PR statistics. IHOP had 44 billion media impressions and over 22,000 news articles written about them over the IHOP stunt.
That was awesome strategic marketing. And it was all, most of, look at this, free. Every news show on the planet covered it. They're becoming a burger place.
So we are announcing our name change probably on Thursday show. We're going to come up with the name change for you.
For 90 days. Hey, thanks for listening. If you'd like to have a extended daytime conversation about where you are on the path, where you're going, how can you levelize volatility, maybe create some risk averse money, 504-832-9200 or go to GregoryRicks.com.
I'm James Parker. We're winning it live with Gregory Ricks.